He keeps asking me for a raise, but I keep telling him no. Sound guy. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But there's no retirement from the Lord's army, that's for sure. Let's grab our hymnals and we'll stand, church, tonight for our final hymn. Let's turn to hymn 84. Hymn 84. My Jesus, I love thee. William Featherstone, amen? And we're going to sing the first, second, and the fourth of hymn 84. You know, I was thinking, boy, it's Father's Day, you know, and Father's Day evening, everybody's visiting Dad, and probably won't have anybody show up. Well, praise the Lord, look at you.
That was a wonderful message. Love it. This morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was good. That was a blessing. Don't you love them, church?
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin, I resign.
Glory to God. Please be seated, church. We do not pass the plate on Sunday nights, as you know. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, church. And open up anywhere. It's all good.
Amen.
Colossians. You can't go wrong with the King James Bible. In Colossians, go with me to chapter number 1 tonight. And as we continue on in our studies of the 8 mysteries of the New Testament tonight, church, I am most excited because of tonight's message. And the reason is because this is my favorite mystery of the 8 mysteries of the New Testament, by far. You're going to see why. Real quick. Now, notice here in Colossians chapter 1. And by the way, sound guy, this is part 10 of the 8 mysteries of the New Testament. Part 10, but in Colossians chapter 1, he never answers me back. Look with me here in verse number 24. But before we read anything at all, I want you to look at verse 21. And I want you to look down, 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 all the way down to verse 29. And notice that you will not find a period between those verses, because there is none. It's what we call a progression. It is a process of divine revelation coming through nine. This is one of Paul's nine verse sentences. There are bigger ones in the Bible. There's a 32 verse sentence in the Old Testament. I forget where that is. I'll find it. But it's amazing how I believe even the punctuation in the King James Bible is the way God wants it to be. Amen. It's just amazing how the Word of God turns out here in Colossians chapter 1. Tonight we're going to look at the mystery of the indwelling Messiah. The mystery of the indwelling Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, look with me in verse 24. Paul writes, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." I want to speak to you tonight, beloved, on the mystery of the indwelling Christ. Father in heaven, how we thank you for your word here in Colossians chapter 1. And Lord, how we thank you for the fourth mystery of the New Testament. How we thank you for the glory of the truth that is contained herein. That is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, indwells every one of us who know him and love him. Oh, thank you tonight, Lord, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Lord, we are a blessed people tonight. Of all the people on the face of planet Earth, we are most blessed. Lord, help us to lift up our heads and realize that our redemption draws nigh. The sound of the trumpet's coming quickly, and Jesus will split the portals of glory one day. Lord, we want to be ready. Lord, we want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Lord, we thank you tonight for the precious truth of mystery number 4, that Christ is in me. He's my hope of glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, beloved, we've seen our first mystery. That was the mystery kingdom. It's in mystery form now because the Jews rejected the kingdom, so it went into mystery form. The kingdom of God is where? In you. It's in you. Second, we saw the mystery of the 7 stars and the 7 golden candlesticks. Our third mystery we saw last Sunday. That was the mystery of the body of Christ. All true believers make up the church, which is his body. Tonight, our fourth mystery is the mystery of the indwelling Christ. All right. Now, after having revealed the mystery of the body of Messiah in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, Paul here is preparing the Colossian believers for an even greater mystery than that, as we will soon see. 5 specific truths are unveiled here. First of all, tonight, notice that Paul rejoiced in suffering for Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, Paul says, speaking of himself, "I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you." What?
Amen.
"Rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Now, 3 things stand out to me here in verse 24. Paul was not afraid to suffer for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, we're so milquetoast, lily pad, lukewarm today, we're afraid to mention Jesus' name. Hey, get some boldness, amen, and tell people, "I'm a Christian." That punk that went into church in Charleston this week and shot a bunch of God's people, he knew they were Christians. They weren't hiding up. They had their Bibles out studying the Word of God, amen. And Paul was willing to suffer. Hey, folks, I don't know what's coming down the pike. But I'll tell you right, we better roll our sleeves up and get ready for some persecution.
Amen.
If you haven't noticed lately, the president's not too happy with the Christians. And if you haven't noticed lately, the government and the our rights are being dissolved before our eyes.
Amen.
I mean, homosexual marriage is legal in most states now. But baby murder is legal in every state now. It's getting bad, and we need to be closer to God and willing to suffer like Paul was. But three things are disclosed here in this verse. First, Paul was willing to suffer for the body, that is the church. Look at verse 24. Paul says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for who?
You.
For you. And you and you and you." Paul suffered for all of us who would trust on Jesus Christ. Amen? Philippians. Flip over to Philippians. Hold your place in Colossians. It's coming right back. Just turn back a page. You'll be there. In Philippians. Look with me here in Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 16. Paul says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Yeah, he won a bunch of souls to Jesus. "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." Amen. You know what Paul said right there? He said, "My life is like an offering, a sacrifice to God for his service. He can take me and he can do whatever he wants with me because he owns me." And he said, "I rejoice in that. I joy in suffering for the cross. I'm so glad Paul wasn't afraid to suffer." This health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, folks, I'm telling you, it's right out of a pit of hell. Copeland's, you know, he's got a fleet. Speaking of jets, he's got a fleet of jets, Copeland. You know, and Osteen, he'll never tell you about suffering for the cross. There is no cross in that church, far as I know. But listen, here in Philippians 2:17, Paul says, "I rejoice in serving God." 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Have your Bibles greased up tonight. And look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 4. Paul says, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged." Paul said, "Hey man, they beat me with rods, with stripes, when they put me in prison. You know, one day they stoned him and killed him, and the Lord raised him up." You know, Paul was not afraid to suffer for the cross and for the gospel's sake. Secondly, something else he reveals in verse 24. That is that Paul viewed his sufferings as completing the sufferings of his Savior. Look at verse 24 again of Colossians chapter 1. He says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake." What is he talking about? Paul is saying, listen to me, Paul is saying that you, child of God, have an appointment and a portion of suffering to go through in your life. Why? Because you have embraced the living God, and the devil's not happy with you. And the devil's going to come against you with both barrels. And we need to be ready for that attack, because we're going to do some suffering. We're going to suffer some oppression. Paul says his sufferings were as a completion of the sufferings of Christ. Now, he's saying that there is a portion, if you will, of suffering appointed to him in doing God's will. Are you listening? In doing God's will, you will suffer. But let me ask you a question, church. Is it suffering worth it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Pastor. The suffering is way, way worth it.
Yeah.
Because Paul said in Romans 8, down around verse 21, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When we get up to heaven, do you realize we'll never ever think back about suffering again? There will be no pain, no suffering, no tears. Amen? Thirdly, that Paul viewed every single member of the body of Christ as an actual part of Jesus Christ's body. Look at verse 24 again. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind, of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Notice that Paul identifies what the body is. It is the church. He's not saying it's the building and the labor and the lumber and the plywood and the tiles. He's saying it's you and you and you and you. The church. The body of Christ is made up of all true believers all over the world. Amen? And we need to realize that we have brothers and sisters in Christ everywhere. I'm so glad of that tonight. And Paul was willing to suffer for that. Ephesians chapter 1. Hold your place in Colossians. Ephesians chapter 1. Look with me at verse 22. Speaking of the body, the church. 22. He has put all things under his feet. Time out. What's your problem tonight? It's under his feet. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
See, we got to get to a point where we believe that Bible. And we believe God over my own feelings about the situation. 22. And I put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him. Now look at verse 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let me make a statement, church. Jesus Christ has placed himself into a position where he is incomplete without all of you.
Amen.
Did you hear what I just said? Read verse 23 again. The fullness, you are the fullness of him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
What? God, who was eternally, supremely content in himself, needed nobody and nothing ever, created you to know him and to love him and to be part of him. Oh, it's getting good in here tonight. If you are saved, you are a member of the Son of God. Glory to God. That's why you're going to heaven. Secondly, tonight, quickly, notice that Paul was the chosen human instrumentality through which the divine revelation of God to man would be completed. That's a mouthful, but it's true. Look at verse 25, Colossians 1:25. Paul was the chosen instrumentality through which the word of God would be fulfilled. He says, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. To what?
Fulfill
the word of God.
Wow.
Paul says, God gave me a job to do. You know the man wrote 14 books of your New Testament? That's more than half. Folks, we can't function without Pauline doctrine. Yes, we need the whole Bible. You know, a fellow said to me, hyper-dispensational, that's not for us. You know, Brother Oliver, you're all wet behind the ear. That verse isn't for me, and that verse isn't for me, and that verse isn't for me, and that book's not for me. And I said, brother, it's all for you. Amen. It's all for you.
Amen.
That is misinterpreting and not misdividing the word of truth. Listen, the whole Bible is for you and me.
Amen.
Every verse of every chapter of every book is for you and me in one of three ways, either historically, spiritually, or doctrinally. It's all for you and me. You see? You have to be a dispensationalist, but not ultra.
Amen.
Be careful. These guys will try to mess you up doctrinally. Now, he says here in verse 25 that he was chosen to fulfill the word of God. Now, look with me in Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to see where he was appointed by Jesus Christ himself to do this. In Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward. It wasn't just for his old self. 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. I love Paul's humility. Amen. Is this grace given? that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, Christ in you, which hath from the beginning of the world been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, what he is saying is this. He's saying the divine revelation of God would be incomplete without my Pauline doctrine. Now, Paul didn't make it up. Amen? It's the word of God. God gave this man such divine revelation, such incredible depth of light from heaven, that he had to give him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble.
Amen.
Paul had eye trouble. And he always, oh, Lord, Lord. He asked him three times to remove him. And the Lord said, nope, nope. You know, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul did stay humble, praise the Lord. Because of the abundance of the revelations that God gave him. We've got to be careful. Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up.
Yeah.
The Lord kept him humble. But Paul, he says, without this revelation that Jesus Christ gave me to you word, to give to you, the church would be incomplete. The Bible would be incomplete.
Amen.
Amen. Because he wrote so many books of the Bible by the Holy Spirit. So we find out here that Paul was a chosen human instrumentality to complete the divine revelation. Thirdly tonight, notice that Paul is about to reveal a new mystery. In verse 26, Colossians 1, 26, he says, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest, that's made known, to his saints. All right. Now, here, Paul, notice, Paul mentions two specific time periods, the past and the present. You see that in verse number 26? He says, from hidden from ages and from generations, but now. The past is the ages and generations of world history. The but now is the dispensation of grace in which you and I live. There's two time dispensations mentioned there. Now, first he mentions the past in verse 26. He says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Now, ages, that's the same Greek word for dispensations, oikonomina. It's an economy of a time period in which God acts in certain ways. Generations, in verse 26, is referring to specific ranks of natural descent through human history. Okay? Specific generations of mankind. And he says, all along, these truths that I'm unveiling were hidden. Nobody knew about them except God. Could you imagine the patience of God? Knowing that one day he would reveal his son in all this glory, and he was patiently waiting, waiting, waiting to reveal his son. And then finally, he said, it's time, son, here we go. Amen? And glory to God, he came. I am so thankful tonight. But notice what he says about these past dispensations and generations. He says, the mystery hath been hid from them. None of the Old Testament saints knew about this mystery, that God would actually one day indwell his people. If they knew it, they'd be scratching their head. What? God, the living God, inside you? Yes, that's what he's saying. The mystery has been hid. He's saying the fourth mystery, which I'm about to reveal, was never seen or known by any previous people group in world history. Go to Ephesians 3 again. In Ephesians 3, look with me at verse number 4. Whereby, speaking of this mystery from verse 3, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now, there's two time periods mentioned right there again, past and present, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, listen to me, the Holy Spirit is the one who revealed these deep truths to you, child of God. You need to get along with him. You need to get on your face before God. And you need to say, Holy Spirit, reveal this truth to me.
Amen.
That's what he's waiting for, because that's what he wants to do. That is his job. Even the Spirit of truth, who shall make known unto you all things. Amen? Oh, it's so good. When you get and you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what this verse means, and he sheds light and enlightenment into your spirit and you see it. Glory to God. But something else. He says in verse 26 that in this present dispensation, that was the past, in this present dispensation, this mystery is now being made known to certain people only on planet Earth. Did you hear what I said? This mystery is being made known today only to certain individuals. Not everybody gets this. And I'm here to go, let me go one step further. You're in the minority tonight. You're in the minority. Because most of planet Earth is in total darkness tonight, blinded by Satan. They have no clue what we're talking about here. And that's why there's empty pews. Because they don't understand the mystery. Okay? They don't have a clue because they're blinded by the small g god of this world. Now, he says it's being unveiled to certain people. Look at verse 26. Back to Colossians 1, 26. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from generations and from ages, but now is being made manifest, that's made known, to who?
His saints.
His saints. Who's his saints? Oh, Mr. Pope over there in Rome. I understand he made another saint last week. Pope John Paul made him a saint.
What?
Made him a saint. Oh, I thought, according to the Bible, only God can make people saints. Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Nobody can make you a saint. Hello? Only God can make you a saint. Amen?
Amen?
And when you get saved, you become a saint. What does the word saint mean, somebody? What does it mean?
Sanctified
one. It means sanctified one. When you get saved, you are positionally sanctified forever in Jesus Christ. Yeah. You can't lose it. Amen? You are a saint if you're born again. That's simple. You don't need the Pope to do that. Now, he says he's making known this mystery to his saints. Those people don't in Rome don't have a clue what I'm talking about. They think they're making saints. They're not saints, number one. And they're not going to make anybody one. Listen, saved ones become positionally sanctified forever by their placement into the body of Christ, who is forever perfected. Notice the first six words of verse 27. Speaking of the saints, to whom God would make known. See that?
Amen.
To whom God would make known something.
Amen.
Something. Something that he will not make known to the world. He will not make known to the present, unless he get saved. He will not make it known to any religious leader, unless they repent and believe the gospel and become born again. He will make it known to those who are saved, period. Go to Romans chapter 15. Hold your place again in Colossians. Romans 15. And look with me in Romans 15 at verse 20. Powerful verse here. In Romans 15, verse 20, we read, yea, Paul says, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. That's Romans 15, 21. Did you see that quote? He's quoting from Isaiah 52, verse 15. And Paul, that's a prophecy of the Gentiles receiving the Messiah, okay? And what he's saying is he's going to make something known to those Gentiles that they didn't see before and that they didn't understand before, okay? You see that in verse 21 of Romans 15? He would make it known. That's a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15, where Isaiah prophesied of the gospel going to all the world, okay? Now, you and I, that's a prophecy of you and me. Because we have received, look at that. As it is written, to whom he was not spoken of. The God of Israel wasn't spoken to any Gentiles before Jesus Christ came. Look at, to whom he was not spoken of. They shall what?
See.
That, and they that have not heard, they shall understand. Oh, this is so good. You're in church tonight because you see what I'm saying and you understand it.
Amen.
You know that Jesus Christ is in you because you're born of God. Now, fourthly tonight, notice that Paul would unveil both the object and the content of this mystery. In verse 27, Colossians 1:27, he would here unveil both the object and content of this most precious mystery. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Time out, church. Time out. I really love this verse. Paul just can't say to whom he would make known the mystery. No, no, no. He says to whom he would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Isn't that good? Paul says it's too good to just pass over with saying the mystery. He says it's the riches of the glory of this mystery. Oh, man, this is so good. Look at it. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, here it is. Folks, if you've heard nothing else I've said, hear this. Jesus Christ is in you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is in you.
Yes.
And because he's in you, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Or I know who holds tomorrow. Amen? I Paul said in another place, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I don't care what the devil throws at me. And he can throw in the kitchen sink if he wants. I'm going to stand upon Jesus Christ because he's in me.
Amen.
And as long as he's in me, I don't need to fear anything.
Amen.
Glory to God tonight, folks. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Verse 27. This glory of this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, in this verse 27, Paul reveals three incredible truths. First, the object of this mystery. Then he'll give us two things concerning its content. First, notice and observe the object of this mystery is to reach all believing Gentiles with the glory of this fourth mystery. Verse 27, he says, to whom, the saints, the saved people, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So, the first point is that the object of the mystery is for God's people to know it and to understand it. Listen to me, church, tonight. God's people are starving all over the world because we've got preachers behind pulpits that won't preach the truths of grace.
Amen. Yeah.
Preachers that won't preach this mystery. Preachers that somehow, I don't know why, they go to Moses and, oh, you know, and we've got to keep the law and, you know, and we've got to go to church on Saturday and shut up, man. Why don't you get saved and preach the truth? Folks,
amen.
Jesus Christ is in you. And as we hammer this point home, as God's people begin to grasp this reality, it will transform your life like nothing ever could. You can turn over all the self-help groups you want, turn over all the new leaves, go to the secular university, it won't help you.
Amen.
You need to know this book and the truths that God wants. Look at it. To whom God would make known. His heart is breaking for his church, the bride of Christ. I'm afraid tonight we're in Laodicea.
Yeah.
The church is asleep.
Yeah.
Woo. As people are dying and going to hell.
Yeah.
Woo. You know? And there's no zeal. There's no excitement. There's no serving of the Lord today. These are the last days, folks. And you have to make up your mind. I'm going to go full barrel for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not taking a backward step. Why? Because he wants you to know these things. You know what I believe? I believe the problem is, it says in verse 27, he wants every saint to know these truths. The problem is, he can't reveal it to every saint. Hear what I said? He can't reveal it to every saint. Because if you want to know the deep truths of God, you have to be sanctified. Sin will prevent the knowledge of God from penetrating your heart and mind and spirit. Amen? So the closer we draw to him, the more knowledge the Spirit of God imparts. And the more excited we get. And it's like a snowball getting bigger and bigger, rolling downhill, man. You can't stop that freight train. Amen? Oh, glory to God. He says he wants to make it known, number one. And then he says this, to the ends of the earth. With the good news of the gospel of grace, he would go, Ephesians 3, verse 1, 6, and 8. Secondly, concerning the content of this mystery in verse 27, Notice first that Jesus Christ himself would personally indwell every single true believer by his own Spirit. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, go with me to John chapter 14. Hold your place in Colossians. I want you to see something very important tonight that you have to understand. Since you became a Christian, Jesus Christ took up residence in your temple. You know there's no temple in Israel tonight. Where is the temple of God tonight? Where is it? That's right, Sarah. It's here. It's here. It's there. It's there. It's there. You are the temple of the living God. There's been no physical temple for the Jews in 2,000 years. And that's intentional on God's part. In John chapter 14, look with me here. In John chapter 14, and go with me to verse 16. John 14, verse 16. Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, notice the capital C. That's a person. That's a title. That he may abide with you forever. Amen. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look at it. I will not leave you comfortless. What's the next five words?
I will come to you.
Words in red? I will come to you. Jesus made a promise right there. He said, yes, boys, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise from the dead. And I'm going back to heaven. But when I send my Holy Spirit, I'm coming down. And I'm going to indwell you. Wow. Look at it. Yet, verse number 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me.
Amen.
I love that where Matthew said, blessed are your eyes. Your eyes, they see the things that ye see. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and what? Look at it. Verse 20. I in you. But look at the beginning of the verse. He says, ye shall know it.
Amen.
Church, you've got to know that tonight, that he's in you. You can't, you know, somebody said to me, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You know, I'm doubting my salvation. And I said, you can't be saved and not know it. You know, it's so true because the change that he makes when he comes into you is so radical that nothing is the same, ever. But look at me, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Amen.
Jesus wants to manifest himself to you. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Amen. And my Father will love him. And what's the next word? We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus just said, I'm not only coming to you. My Holy Spirit's not only coming to you. My Father's coming to you. He says, we, corporately, plurally, will come unto you. And make our abode with you. You know what your abode is? That's when you set up camp. That's when you pitch tent and say, this is where I'm sleeping, man. This is where I'm staying. This is home. And he says, we will come to you. I'm so glad tonight that he has come and he doth indeed indwell us. Now, something else concerning the content of this mystery. First, that Jesus Christ himself would personally indwell every believer. Second, that without possessing the mystery of the indwelling Christ, there is no hope of making heaven your eternal home. Look at verse 27 again. Colossians 1, 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you catch it? The hope of glory is what? Christ where? In you. Now, folks, you've got to read the Bible by deduction. If the hope of glory is Christ in you, means you're going to heaven, The missing of glory and going to heaven is not having Christ in you. That makes sense, right?
Amen.
Listen carefully. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Hold your place. Flip forward past Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll come right back. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our what?
Hope.
Paul just said by the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ is our hope of heaven. So if you don't have him, you know what you have? No hope.
Amen.
You have no hope of making heaven your home. But with Jesus Christ, I have the hope of glory.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, listen to me. Jesus Christ is the reason why anybody goes to heaven.
Amen.
If Jesus Christ is in you, you die, they bury you flesh 6 feet under. But your soul, which is indwelt by Jesus Christ, goes up.
Amen.
That makes sense? If that soul does not have Jesus Christ, it goes down. Now, listen carefully. Paul, fifthly and finally tonight, that Paul made this fourth mystery known, but not by his own power. Look at verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Amen.
Paul says, I'm not doing this in my own strength. I'm not putting on some show. I'm not, I'm weak. I'm unable to do anything. I got eye trouble. So do I with this. But you know what? Paul says, it's God's strength working in me mightily.
Amen.
God is working through me. Now, first of all, in closing here, Paul says three things. First, we must warn every man. Look at verse 28.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, whom we preach. What's the next word?
Warning.
How many men?
Come.
Oh, yeah, every man. Yeah. We need to warn them all. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. And they all need him. Now, first of all, he says the warning must go to all men, all the world. Go to me, Ezekiel chapter 3, quickly. Ezekiel, hold your place in Colossians. You're coming right back. We're almost done. Ezekiel chapter 3. Here's a powerful verse for you and I who know this truth. In Ezekiel chapter 3, look with me at verse 16. Quickly. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them what?
Warning
from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Why, Lord? Because he didn't warn him. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, we're not going to get into Old Testament salvation, but in the Old Testament you had to die in faith. You didn't have eternal security in the Old Testament. That's what he's saying. But the point of this passage is that we must warn them. Amen? We must warn them that they need Jesus Christ, and without him they will perish. Secondly, that we must strive for spiritual maturation. That's maturing. Look at verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. That Greek word is mature. In Christ Jesus. We must strive for spiritual maturation. That's why we're in church on a Sunday night. We want to grow spiritually. Thirdly and finally, that we ourselves must operate by another's strength and not our own. Verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Go to Hebrews 13 and we'll finish up here. In Hebrews chapter 13, here's a very important passage concerning how you can serve God. And there's only one way. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 20. We'll finish up here. Verse 20. Paul, we believe, writes, "Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect." There's that word again, mature. "In every good work to do his will." How? "Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." He says God is going to work in and through you to do his will. Yeah. Here is the beauty of it all, beloved. Yes, because of this fourth mystery, which is Christ in you, the mystery of the indwelling Christ, we can serve God. And we can do it by his power working in and through us. Beloved, I'm so glad tonight that Jesus Christ is in you. Father in heaven, thank you tonight, Lord, for these precious souls that have come to hear your word. And Lord, I pray a special blessing upon each and every individual in church tonight. That, Lord, you would just pour out, open up the windows of heaven, and fill them with your Holy Spirit tonight to overflowing. Lord, let them leave this place rejoicing, confidently, assuredly, knowing that Jesus Christ is my Lord, he is in me, and everything's going to work out okay. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that I can put them and place them into your holy hands. Father knows best. And Lord, you will work out your will in their lives, and you will have your way, and you will work miracles that each one of us tonight need in our lives, Lord. Miracles that only you can give. We look to you tonight, Lord Jesus, in these days that are growing so dark. Lord, there was a mass shooting in a church this week, of all places. But Lord, that's because the devil is working overtime. And the day is drawing nigh when you will return. That means we need to be closer to you than we've ever been before, Lord. We need to cleave to you, Lord. We need to trust in you more. We need to pray to you more. We need to study your word more. We need to get closer to you than we've ever been before. And by your grace, and by your indwelling presence, we will do that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals tonight, folks. And open up to 270. We'll stand. For a closing hymn tonight, I love the words of this hymn. Jesus Saves. 270, first, second, and fourth.
Yes. We have heard the joyful sound. The time is all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. There's news to every man. Like the sea that drops away. Onward is our Lord's plan. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, send me on and on the sea, and go back the ocean days, and shall be her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the wind a mighty voice, Jesus saves.
Great. dancing it tonight, church. Thank you for being in God's house on a Sunday night. So glad to meet these new folks. What a blessing you all are. And we just praise the Lord with a word of prayer in closing. Father, we thank you for a great Father's Day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning concerning David, the father's best advice that he gave to his son Solomon. And Lord, we thank you that just like Solomon was exhorted to seek the Lord with his whole heart and a willing mind, we too need to seek you in these last days. And we thank you that we shall by your grace. We love you. And as we're dismissed, we pray you'd go before us. Lord, we pray you'd open up doors for us this week to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Help us to share your love with them. Help us to share the gospel. Help us to give them a gospel track. Invite them to church. But more importantly, to invite them to the Savior. We thank you for it, Lord. Bless us and meet our every need this week. Lord, we all have needs. We pray for those who are ill, those who are away traveling today on this Father's Day. We pray you'd heal them up who are ill and bring them back safely who are away, that your house may be full. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks.